Thanks, Matt. Good morning, everybody. Welcome. Welcome. It's so good to be in the house of God. Amen. It's so good to be together. For those that don't know me, as I said, my name is Gary Morgan. And as you can tell by my accent, I'm from Tasmania. And so, I'm originally from Wales, but actually come from Melbourne. Let's take our seats this morning. Welcome to those online. It's so good that you could join us. It's so good to be at Fusion. I just love what God is doing in and through this house and through this region. I just love that a lot of times we can look at cities and we can write off what's happening. But God wants to write down what He's wanting to say. We can easily just be overwhelmed with what isn't happening, but God wants to raise a people who are acutely aware of His promise, His power, and His provision for a city. Because when we're able to be that people, we get to call the shots and no one else. Even in the midst of greatest persecution, Daniel called the shots because he knew that he had a God that wasn't affected by where he was, but he was effective in who he was. And that's the key. It's the key to understand that we are not affected, but we're effective. And it comes down to the determinant factor of not what we see, but how we see it. You see, it's amazing when you look in a mirror, what you see, you want to change. But it's how you see it will ultimately be the change. Because when I look in the mirror, friends, the six pack is, or should I say the keg, is still there. And I can have all manner of thoughts about what I see, but it's how I see determines an outcome. Amen? And it comes right down to seeing a city. Every day we can see what we're seeing. It's what we see, but it's how we see it actually determines a purpose and actually a perspective. You see, to the one who flies, the sky is always blue. To the one who flies, the sky is always blue. Why? Because it's our position determines our perspective. And if we are people who are earthly realityed, we will always see clouds. But if we're people of the heavens, we'll always see blue sky. For the one who flies, the sky is always blue. And so there's an invitation in that to begin to understand it's not what we see, it's how we see it. And that comes down to a micro level of not just there, but here. It's how do we see ourselves? Because how we see ourselves will either determine us in a way of being overcome or overcomers. Either living as a victim or living victoriously. But I like to say it like this. Either living as a victim or living vulnerably. Because vulnerability is your victory. God said to me years ago, He said, Gary, you'll never win a city by your victories, but by your vulnerabilities. If you can be real, if you can connect, not through what you can do, but what I've done, it changes everything. And so I want this morning, if we can, open the Word of God together. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, let's go there this morning. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says this, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, behold, all things have become new. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ. You see, the Bible says in the book of John, a very learned man came to Jesus and asked this question, what must I do to see the kingdom? What can I do? You are a guy of incredible revelation, but I want what you've got. And Jesus said, unless a man be born again, or a woman, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Be born again. What is to be born again? Nicodemus, in his logical way, said, does that mean I have to, let's not get graphic this morning, but does it mean like, I could ask Nathan to do a diagram, but it's okay, buddy, maybe next time. Like, how does that work? Because that don't make sense. And Jesus said, we have to be born of water and born of the Spirit. You see, we have to understand to be in Christ is to be in the womb. To be in Christ, it means that we everything we do is from Him and everything we do is in Him. You see, to understand this language of what Paul brings in his letters, he uses this language of being in Christ and Christ being in us. And, you know, it can confuse us of, am I there, am I here, am I there? Well, it's both and. And to understand what it is to be in Christ and Christ in us, I like to say it like this, is if we're in Christ, it's a heavenly reality. If Christ is in us, it's an earthly application. We are in Him there, and He is in us here. So every place in Scripture that it talks about us being in Christ is our heavenly reality. Because you read 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. All things have passed away. But Gary, why am I still struggling with this? Why am I still struggling with that? Because friends, your indiscretion here is not your identity there. And our whole journey of identity in God is becoming, not arriving. Heaven isn't about an arrival, it's about a becoming. Who am I becoming? Am I speaking to somebody? So all the things we deal with, friends, that is the work of Christ. You see, in Him, if we're in Him, that's our identity. Him being in us is our outworking. And so when them things come up in our lives, Christ in me is the hope of who I am in glory. And we're seeing something this morning. And so we recognize that we have a new life. And so when it comes to our life, it's not what we think, it's how we think. You see, we've been told for too long what to think. There's this group of people, probably the most powerful people on this planet, who shapes the way we think. And before you try to jump the gun, it's not the Labour government, amen? It's not Elon Musk. This group of people is way more powerful than that. It's not a foreign government either. Gary, who are these people? Well, they shape the way you see. They shape the decisions you make. And when I get to heaven, I want to meet these powerful people because I've never met them. But yet they're so powerful. Shall I tell you who they are? They're called they. Because they said. And they say. And what they say, you do. And what they say, you believe. Why do you believe the things you believe? Because they say. They're so powerful. But have you ever met anyone called they? And when you challenge someone who gives you an opinion or gives you their belief because they say, "Is but who are they?" I can't tell you. I want to empower you this morning out of a place of believing in the they and locking into Him. Because it's not what they say, it's what He says. And when we begin to understand that we are a people who are not determined by a culture or a crowd, but we are the culture and the crowd of heaven that God wants to use and are the vehicle. We are the local church. Friends, you are the body of Christ that become the hands and the feet on this planet to see the kingdom of heaven be made manifest. But it will never happen if we continue to think the way the world wants us to, instead of the way God wants us and how to think. And so I want to encourage us this morning that we are born again. Our lineage has changed. Our heritage has changed. The way of life has changed. Because no longer do I live out of a lineage that is earthly, but now I have a lineage and a family who is heavenly. I am in Christ and Christ is in me. Therefore, I have a brand new DNA. And the DNA hasn't got nothing to do with finding if I'm a criminal or I'm not. It's got everything to do whether I'm in Christ or I'm not. And my DNA is a divine nature that's activated. And so when I receive the blood of Christ, Because of the shedding of blood, I am now in him. And that blood has caused the divine nature to be activated in me. So no longer am I shaped by the world, I begin to shape the world. Well, Gary, that sounds great. That sounds like pie in the sky, but give us some steak on the plate. How you think about something determines how you approach it. How you see your family, how you see your marriage, how you see your future, how you see your past has a massive, massive impact on what your life is going to ultimately be and look like. Am I speaking to somebody? You see, if you judge a fish by its ability to climb a tree, it will live its whole life believing that it's stupid. How many of us are judging our life based on our humanity and not our holiness? How many of us are basing and judging our lives based on our indiscretions and not our identity? How many of us are shaping our lives based on history and not his story? Because if we judge it, it's like judging a fish who can't climb a tree. Because a fish was never created to climb a tree. It was created to swim in the sea. And friends, you were never created to be of this world. You were created to be in this world. And the moment that we judge ourselves according to being in the world, friends, we lost it already. Because John Wimber says it the best. We are not earthly beings having a heavenly experience. We are heavenly beings having an earthly experience. And being in the Spirit is not a matter of locality, but reality. Whatever is real to you, that's what you're anchored to. That's what you'll be most aware of. Am I speaking to somebody? You see, a fish exists in an environment it was created for. The Bible tells us in Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. There's so much in that verse I could spend the next 20 minutes unpacking. But we are his workmanship. Where were we created? In Christ for good works. Therefore, outside of Christ is not good works. If I'm not in Christ, then I'm not going to have good works. And we always wonder, why is this happening to me? Why is this happening? Because, friends, our reality, remember, it's not locality, it's reality. My reality is not in Christ, it's outside. Because when you are faced with crisis, you'll always forget who you are and where you are. Why do you think we have incredible signage? We have clear markings in this building for if a fire took place. Because it is psychologically accurate to know that if a panic happens, we don't think straight. We don't see straight. Therefore, we need clarity and we need clearness to know what to do. And I want to invite you this morning that even though we could say the last 2.5 years and beyond has been a time of crisis, I don't want us to forget who we are or where we are. We are his and we're in him. Amen? Am I speaking to somebody? You see, I generally find those who have an identity called Christ are never in crisis. But Gary, I've known so many people at this and this and this and yeah. Again, how you see things determines what happens. Because I don't want to get morbid this morning. But all of us are ultimately going to die. Gary, that is such an encouraging prophetic word this morning. What did you do and say? Well, I went to Fusion Church and I was told I was going to die. You're my heart. You see, what becomes a crisis isn't what happens, it's how it happens. And many of you in this place, including myself, and I don't need to get into sob stories this morning. But every one of you is validated that you've had a crisis happen to you. And it wasn't what happened, it's how it happened that's affected you. Am I true? So what happened? It's how it happened. And I want to bring us into a place of redemption this morning to realize, though it happened, God turns trauma to trust. God turns graves into gardens. God turns tests into testimonies, messes into messages. We can get Pentecostal this morning, amen? But I want to invite you into a place of learning how to see something, not what to see. On how to think, not what to think. Because when we're able to do that, friends, we have to realize that our behavior is an echo of our belief. It's not what we believe, it's how we believe it. Because even Matt said at the beginning, it's not our belief in God, it's our belief of God. Because literally, no, the other way, it's not our belief of God, it's our belief in God. Because even the devil believes in God. But do we really have that anchor place that no matter what happens, I know who I believe, not what I believe? Amen? And so you begin to realize that it all comes down to this place of my belief actually shapes my identity. And that's why the power of the mirror is so powerful. Because when we look, it has two factors. See, I have changed the power of the mirror in my life. And before I got married, I thought everything was fine. But then I got married and my wife sort of was like, what the heck are you doing? Because every morning, when I've done my little routine, and guys, we know what it's like when you get married. It's all about the routine. Are you going to yield it? No, I'm not. My routine is still my routine, amen? And that's why I say to my wife, you know, it's my routine. And so I do my routine, and I stand in front of the mirror. I pull my T-shirt down, and I say, today, you're going to change the world. I speak to myself. I haven't had white people in white coats come and get me yet. But I speak to myself. Today, you are the change that this world is waiting for. And I speak it out. And I remember when I first got married, and you know, that next morning, and I do my little routine, and I'm standing there, and I pull my shirt down, and I said, today, you are the encounter of God in this world. And my wife walks in, she goes, what the heck are you doing? Who are you talking to? Oh, crap, this is the part of marriage they didn't tell us about. I said, I'm speaking to myself. What are you doing that for? And I began to share with her that before I got a revelation, I used to look at myself and despise what I saw. That I used to look at myself and I try to be the change to me instead of God being the change in me. And I despised, I hated what I saw. Until one day I realized that this hasn't got the power, but this has. Because the kingdom of heaven is voice activated. The things of God, and my identity has got nothing to do with what's happening here. It's got everything to do with you. Am I speaking to somebody? You see, our identity, I love the word identity because it was the very thing that was battled for in the garden. You see, I love the word identity because it's got the word dent in it. A couple of years ago, I was given the privilege of driving an Aston Martin for a couple of weeks. And you know, I actually lost weight driving it because I never parked it, you know, between the Ford and the Holden. When I went to Coles, I'd park it on the other side of the car park where there was no cars. And I would walk and I'd come back and I'd look around the car. But you know, imagine, you know what it's like. You have something that is of value and all of a sudden you see that little nick. You might do it with your Honda right now. You might do it with your car. You just got a brand new car and all of a sudden you're walking towards it and you see something and you're like, why do we do this? Like, what's that going to do? And all of a sudden, we're holding, and it doesn't go. And all of a sudden, it's like that sick feeling in your stomach. And you go on the hunt. Who's done this? And you don't see the car anymore. All you see is that little nick or that little dent. And you wonder, who did this? And every time you think of the car, you don't think of the car, you think of the dent. You see, that's why the word dent is in the word identity, because God wants to dent us with his goodness so that when the world sees us, they don't see us anymore. They see what God has done and what God is doing. We have a dent in our lives. It's the same going to an Italian with a white shirt on. How many of us still do that? And all of a sudden you're eating and someone goes, and you look down and all of a sudden all night you're just doing this. Okay, how's it going? Can you just pass the salt? Gary, who are you swearing allegiance to? What's going on? And you want to cover it. Why? Because you know it's the mark. I don't care about the white shirt, there's just a mark. And we're just like, we don't like it. Why? Because it stands out. What does it look like for the goodness of God, the things of God, to stand out on our life? That's our identity. You see, you know someone who knows who they are when they walk in a room. And I want to encourage you right now. When you know your identity, identity is arrogance to the insecure, but boldness to the secure. When you look at someone, you know who they are. If you see it as arrogance, you're insecure. If you see it as boldness, you're secure. Because again, how you see someone determines what you see. Am I speaking to somebody? And we've been afraid of knowing who we are, because we think it'll be arrogance. Arrogance only comes from insecurity. Boldness comes from security. Am I speaking to someone? Amen? Wow. You see, the enemy wanted to take Adam and Eve's identity in the garden. It's amazing that the enemy came into the garden and drove them to a wilderness, but Jesus came into the wilderness to restore us back to a garden. Yes. I love it. That he wanted us to be people who overcame and not be overcome. You see, he made sure if he couldn't be like God, no one else would be. And that's why our identity is so important. We know what it's like when our identity is hit, when we find ourselves in an identity crisis. Guys, when we lose our job, it hits our identity as provider. Ladies, if you ever lost a child, it hits your maternal identity. And I want to encourage us this morning, there's something about how we see, not what we see, determines the purpose and the power on our life. Ladies, you know what it's like when you ask your husband, honey, how do I look? Husbands, you have a not even a split second. You better answering at the speed of light. You better not even hesitate, because it changes everything. If my wife goes, hey, hon, how do I look? And I'm like, it's like about 20 wardrobe changes. I can't even say you look good. You look great. You didn't say hot. Okay, I'm going to use adjectives that actually create something. Again, what is it about that? It's because, again, our identity comes from affirmation. Our identity comes from a place of encouragement. And that's why I've given my life to the prophetic, because positive prophetic affirmation brings destiny activation. Let me say that again. Positive prophetic affirmation brings destiny activation. When you can affirm someone's identity, when you can call out who they are, not what they're not, that brings a destiny activation in their life. And this is something that God brings down to each and every one of us. You see, God wants you to know who you are and whose you are. And the role of the enemy for so long has been to undermine who you are, to place a question mark on your life. I'll call this the punctuation of the prophetic. The enemy wants to bring a question mark where God wants to bring an exclamation mark. How many of us are living in doubt? The question mark. I'm not sure about my life. I'm not sure where I'm going. I'm not sure who God is. That's a question mark. But God wants to bring an exclamation mark. It happened in Scripture. God said, I've given you all this, just don't touch that. Exclamation mark. And the enemy came with this question mark. Did God really say? For Jesus, in the Jordan. This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased, exclamation mark. A few verses later, he's in the wilderness and the enemy comes with this question mark. If you are the son of God, question mark. God just said he was the son of God. How many things in our life have turned from exclamation marks to question marks because Christ has happened? How many of us have gone from a statement to a question because life has happened? God wants us to stay in. God wants us to be in. God wants us to reside in that place of exclamation and not question. And it comes to a place of identity. It comes to a place. You see, all throughout Scripture, the identity of who Christ was paramount to the journey of the disciples. All throughout Scripture, the prophetic, you see in the Psalms, in the prophets. I love this. You see, do you know who he is? Do you know who Jesus is? Do you know who he really is? For some, he's a swear word. For some, he's a savior. For some, he's a shepherd. Can I read for you right now who he is? Who some of the people in Scripture said he is. He said, David said he is the lifter of my head, my strong rock, the fairest of 10,000. Isaiah said he is high and lifted up, the bright and morning star. Daniel said he's the Ancient of Days. He is the friend of sinners, Matthew said. Bridegroom and the door of the sheep, John said. He is the judge of the living and the dead. He is the image of the invisible God. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. He is the one that was and is to come, says Revelation. He is the light of the world, the El Shaddai, the God who is more than enough. I'll tell you, to the architect, he is the chief cornerstone. To the banker, he is the hidden treasure. To the baker, he is the bread of life. To the builder, he is the sure foundation. To the carpenter, he is the door. To the astronomer, he is the bright and morning star. To the archaeologist, he is the rock of ages. To the doctor, he is the great physician. To the teacher, he is the great teacher. To the florist, he is the lily of the valleys and the rose of Sharon. To the jeweler, he is the pearl of great price. And to the sinner, he is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. That is Jesus. That is who we're serving. That's who we serve. And if we know who he is, then we know of the anchor we have. As Scripture says, we have a hope that is an anchor to our soul. We cannot be shaken. Friends, there's a lot of shaking that is going on and will go on. But the Bible tells us we are of a kingdom that cannot be shaken. That isn't just a nice thing to say. That isn't just itching your ears right now. That is the truth. And we can take that to the bank. I'll tell you, that is the truth. Friends, when you know your identity, when you know who you are, I am Christ-like, and you know whose you are, he is Christ, then nothing matters. Everything is settled. And friends, you might be saying, well, Gary, that's good for you. No, no, no. I refuse to live in crisis because I'm in Christ. When people come to me and say, Gary, the fuel prices are going up, that doesn't change the currency of faith. Gary, inflation's rising. That doesn't change the nature of God because he still provides. His promises are still true. And whether it was good or whether it was bad, he was still true. And the invitation this morning, friends, is to ask the question, do I truly know who he is? And do I truly know who I am? And you might have been in a season right now where there's so many question marks that God wants to turn to exclamation marks. You might be in a season right now. You might be watching online. Friends, if that's you, I want you to pray a prayer with me. Why don't you put your hands on your hearts with me before I minister this morning? Because we've got to settle something in this place. We've got to settle something in our lives. That I'm no longer going to live by the identity crisis, but an identity of Christ. That if He said it, then I can be it. If He has said it, then I'm going to proclaim it. And so, Father, right now this morning, I pray for every heart and every home, those present and those watching online. And Lord, I pray right now, God, that You would settle in our hearts every place and every space of question. And God, You would bring Your truth that would set free. Father, You are the brighter morning star. God, You are the pearl of great price. You are our shepherd. You are our Savior. God, you are our El Shaddai. Father, You are the El Roy. You're not a Mexican gangster. You're a God who sees. You're a God who sees. And Lord, You see everything this morning. And so, Lord, wherever we're at, Lord, I ask You that You would empower us to see like You see, to think like You think, and to live like You live. And God, we lift off this morning every shame and every blame, every place that has tried to hook us. Lord, we take every hook out right now, and we anchor ourselves to the truth that whom the Son sets free is free indeed. My identity is founded and is anchored and secure in Christ. Friend, if you're here this morning or you're watching online, you might have clicked this by accident. You might have turned up. And you don't know who Jesus is. You haven't got this anchor. You haven't got this security. Why don't you invite Him into your life right now? Just pray this prayer. Say, Jesus, come into my heart and change my life. I'm sorry for everything that has separated us. But I'm thankful now that I open the door of my heart and I invite You in. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Wow. Father, I thank You for every person in this place. I thank You for every person in this place. Lord, I thank You for Your goodness and for Your grace. I thank You for Your goodness and for Your grace.